to welcome you. I'm Pastor Mark Patti. If I haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, I look forward to doing that after worship. Let's continue in prayer. God, we do thank you for the privilege of worshiping you. We do thank you for those on our worship team that lead us so well. And I thank you, too, for a congregation of people who love to make a joyful noise to you, to listen to you, who long, Lord God, to walk with you in all of life and to serve you. We do thank you for a vibrant congregation, even as we hear the noises in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that we are a multi-generational, multicultural congregation. God, help us to continue to practice loving each other. And God, grant us the grace that the love we share in you may overflow in abundant ways, practical ways, to the world around us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So this month, during September, we're going through a sermon series, as you might remember, on transitions, how life is transition. We're always moving from one thing one day to the next day, and things are never static, from one day to the next, we can find that dreams we had yesterday suddenly have come crashing down today. That some of the transitions in life are more significant than others when we have somebody we love die. You know, we just stood for Jeannie Wiehoff. When a job we've had comes to an end, or when we get a new job, when something we've been focusing our life around, that season comes to an end, or maybe an injury happens, or maybe an illness happens, or whatever it is, that this is life. It always is changing. And part of the challenge for us is to learn how to kind of cope with this reality, to be asking the question again and again when change happens in our lives, when challenge happens, is it game over or is it game on? And for us as people of faith, here's the reminder for us. For us as people of faith, it is always, even when it is also game over, it is always game on. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So as we enter into a new day, a new season, a new whatever, okay, God, what is it that you have for me? What is it that you want me to do? Life will never be what it was yesterday. I'm not into tomorrow and whatever it might bring. What does it mean for me to walk with you today? You know, over these past couple of weeks, as I've been reflecting on today's gospel lesson, there's a story that just keeps coming to my mind, a really formative story for me. It's told by Dr. Ed Friedman, who's an influential person in my life. He wrote a book called Friedman's Fables, and in it he has these parables, and one of them is this one. It's a story of a man who knew down deep inside that he had a purpose in life. He just didn't know what it was. He kept on searching, praying for that purpose. What is it I'm supposed to do with my life? And one day, kind of in a flash, it came to him what his purpose was. Here's what I'm supposed to do. And so he set off. He closed the door behind him. He set off through town, out into the countryside, on his way. He's determined, I'm going to fulfill God's purpose with my life. And he comes to this bridge going over a chasm. And as he's walking across that bridge, determined to fulfill his purpose, he sees another man coming toward him the other way. And as they get closer, he sees that the other man has a rope coiled over his shoulder. And the closer they get, the more the man you can see is just trying to get his attention. And so when they're up near each other, the other man with the rope says, hey, excuse me, would you just hold on to the end of this rope for just a second? And the man with a mission, a man with a purpose says, you know, I really don't have time for that right now. I've got a purpose, a mission to fulfill. I've got people to see, places to go. I've got to keep moving. And the man with the rope says, oh, no, if you just hold on to it for just a second, it would really mean a lot to me. It'd be really helpful to me. And so finally the man says, sure. And he grabs hold of the rope. And as soon as he does, the man who brought the rope just jumps over the side of the bridge. And the man on top of the bridge just grabs hold of the rope with both hands and hangs on for dear life, his life and especially the man who's plummeting over the side. The man on the other side of the rope has it tied around his waist, and he comes to the bottom of the rope, and he just, you know, how bounces there at the bottom of the rope, and the man on top is just hanging on for all he's worth and yells over the side, "What in the world are you doing?" And the man below says, "I'm honestly not sure, but know that my life is in your hands." And the man up above said, "What do you mean your life is in my hands? I've got a life. I've got to live my life. I've got a purpose." And the man below says, "Yeah, I get all that. That's really great. But please know that my life is in your hands. You've got to hold on." And the man up above says, "No, actually, I got to let go. I got to move forward." And the man below says, "No, you've got to hang on. My life is in your hands." And this goes back and forth for a while. And the man above says, "Look, you got to start climbing up. I can hold on a little longer, but you got to climb up the rope. If I don't feel the tension on the rope changing as you're climbing up, I'm going to have to let go." And the man below says, "No, please don't do that. My life is in your hands." And the man up above says, "This is what's going to happen. I'm going to count to three. You got to start climbing up. If I don't feel the tension changing, I'm going to let go." The man, "No, don't do it. You can't do it." And the man up above says, "One." And the man below, no, you can't do it. Don't do it. Two. The man below, "No, please, I'm counting on you. I depend on you. My life is in your hands." Three. And the man up above lets go of the rope. That's the end of the story. Wasn't that a fun story? We were talking about this a little bit earlier in the week with some of the staff, and they're like, "I find that story a little troubling." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's the point." You know, Jesus tells parables, and the point isn't to tell a great story when Jesus tells stories. It's not just to give us an answer that he could have written up on the board. Jesus tells stories to get us to think, to get us to struggle, to get us to wrestle. What does it mean for us to be responsible with the life we've been given, to live out God's purpose? What does it mean for us to walk on this path that Jesus is calling us to? And of course, there are times in our lives where we just got to hang on. We got to be there for somebody. And that season can be really long. But there are also times when we got to let go and we got to let people live their own lives or crash and burn on their own. And we got to crash and burn on our own. We got to find out. We got to live out what it means for us to live. Life is always a matter of these choices. What is it we hang on to and what is it we let go of? Because life is in transition all the time, and we got to keep wrestling with it. There are no easy answers for us. We keep wrestling with it. And I think back to when Jesus is walking along the beach, the shore of the Sea of Galilee, and he calls to Peter and Andrew, James and John, and he says, "Follow me." And they follow him immediately. What a wonderful story. But they have no idea what they're getting themselves into. They have a sense of who Jesus is and who they are at this time, but they've got so much more to learn. They think that they're following Jesus on this path to success. It will follow this teacher, and he's going to lead us to that place where we arrive, where all is successful. And there's some sense in which that's true. Jesus leads us to that heavenly kingdom, but there's a sense in which Jesus is not leading them to success. This is the path of success. This life is always on the move, changing. And we don't just get there to success. We live successfully. Every step we take when we walk with Jesus. And so the challenge for us, the call for us, is to walk with Jesus, not to success, but to walk with Jesus on the path of success. To successfully listen and follow, to live the abundant life here and now in the midst of all the transitions, in the midst of all the changes and the challenges of our lives. And the first thing we need to know about this path of success that Jesus calls us to walk on is that the foundation of it is God's love. Like, this is the incredible good news, that we are secure in God's love. God loves you. And so we venture forward with that security, with that confidence. You think back to Jesus' path. He was baptized, right? Remember that, John the Baptist? And God speaks to him and says, "You are my beloved with whom I'm well pleased, my son." And that's what God speaks to each one of us when we begin, when we're baptized. God says, "You are my beloved child, my beloved son, my beloved daughter." That's the confidence we walk in. We don't walk to get to God's love. We walk in God's love. That's the path. And so I want to invite you this morning, if you've never said, as Jesus calls you, said, "Yes, I want to follow you. I want to walk in this love of God." I want you this morning to say yes. "Thank you that you love me where I am, as I am. I want to follow you, Jesus." If you've never said yes to Jesus, I invite you to do that even right now. If you do that, come talk to Pastor Jonna, myself, one of the other staff members. We would love to talk with you, pray with you about what it means to get moving on that path. But whether you say that today for the first time or whether today you're saying that again, like, "Okay, Jesus, I do want to follow you. Yes, I want to walk in the love of God." Here are four things that come out of today's gospel lesson. This is from Mark chapter 9. Four things that are really critical for all of us who want to walk on this pathway of success. I invite you to hear these words and to let them sink in. And the first one is that not only do we need to say yes to Jesus as he calls us to follow, but we need to say no to anything and everything that would keep us from following him. Does that make sense? We cannot follow Jesus until we let go of those things that are keeping us from following him. This is one of the hard things about the Christian life, about following Jesus, is, to be honest, if you're like me, I always just want to keep adding. Like, okay, I can follow Jesus and I can do everything else I want. I can be a pastor and I can be an astronaut. You know, I can do, no, actually, Mark, you're going to have to go to school for this or for that. You're going to have to, you know, and be a lot more athletic if you're going to be an astronaut. Saying yes to Jesus means saying no to other things. This is what the author of Hebrews is talking about when he says, "Cast aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely so that you can run with perseverance the race to which you're called, so that you can walk on that path." And I wonder for us this morning, for you, what is it that is that weight that's holding you down, that thing you're hanging on to, that sin that's clinging to you? Maybe, you know, in the book of James, one of the passages for today says, if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, and devilish. It'll keep you from following Jesus' path. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. Does that sound at all like any world you've been living in? What are the sins that for you struggle with? Greed, envy, jealousy, pride. What is it you need to say no to? What is it you need to let go of so that you can follow Jesus? There's no other way. But here's the second thing. A critical thing is, know this about the path Jesus is calling you on. It's a downward path. So if you're wondering in your life what it means to follow Jesus, seek the downward path. You're starting up high. You're loved by God. You can't go any higher than that. Anywhere you go from there is downward, just like Jesus going from his throne in heaven to come down here to love sinners, to love the lowly like us. That's our call. It's to come down to where other people are to serve others and lift them up, encourage them. In fact, listen to today's gospel lesson. This is Mark chapter 9. It takes place. It's the second time Jesus tells his disciples that the Son of Man, the Messiah, is going to suffer and die. It's after Jesus has been up in Caesarea Philippi, where we talked about last week, up near Mount Hermon, where on a good day you could see down over the Sea of Galilee, down through the Jordan River, down toward Jerusalem, this path that Jesus is calling them to walk. And today's gospel lesson says, then they left there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, because on the way he was teaching them that the Son of Man is to be delivered into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after killing him, he will rise again. But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked the disciples, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, because on the way, they were arguing about who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it in the midst of them, and taking the little child in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child as this welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." You see, our way of thinking, that way of thinking that we hang on to, the way of the world is we want to be great. We want to look great. We want everybody to look up to us, right? But the way of Jesus is a downward path where we look to those that actually the children of Jesus' day were the ones that nobody wanted to see or hear. And Jesus is one who goes and he sees them, and he hears them, and he cares about them. And so the question for us as we think about following Jesus' path is, what does it mean for us to see and to hear and to care for those maybe nobody else even notices? Who are those people in our society? Who are those people even in our church or at the lunchroom or at work or on the street or in your neighborhood that nobody's even noticing? The path of success, of following Jesus, is a downward path where we go to meet with people where they are and encourage them to experience the love, the welcome of God. That's what Jesus did, right? Coming down from heaven. That's what we who follow him do. Right? We certainly seek to. We seek that downward path. So here's the third point. Is you've got to step out. Following Jesus, walking this path of success, means you've got to take another step, another step, another step. What's your step today? I was meditating on this passage earlier this week and thinking, of course, about Sunday, and I get to preach and all that. But God's word for me that day was, okay, Sunday's coming, but today, I want you to go back to your study and encourage somebody today. Make a phone call, write a note, do something, but do something today. And so I want to encourage you also to be preparing for what's ahead come next week or next year. Maybe you got to go to school and prepare for that career, but know this, that today God expects you to serve. Limited as your abilities or opportunities may be, today is the day we serve. And also, that when that career unfolds for you, as you pray it does, know that the key piece in that will be that downward path of service. That our goal is not to climb the ladder. It's not to become rich. It's not to be great in the eyes of the world. The path of success is the path of service. And while that changes what we can do and what those opportunities are as the seasons of our lives change, This never changes. We're called to step out and to serve, to love with our lives. That's what that path of success is. And then finally, the fourth point is to stay open while you're walking this path. Stay open. Did you notice in the gospel lesson that twice it mentions on the way? What were you arguing about on the way? Most of life happens on the way, by the way. I was looking forward to Sunday, to preaching, to being here with all of you. It's great. But in the meantime, I had a few other hours to live this week. And God was calling me during those hours to walk this path with him as well. In fact, for the disciples, think about how much they had to learn, how many blessings they experienced, how much they got to be a part of blessing others on the way. It didn't all just happen at the cross. It happened on the way to the cross, and it happened after the cross, on the way of living our lives. This is so critical. I had a great day yesterday, busy day, but I drove down to Excelsior for a funeral. A dear friend of ours, member of our congregation, Gunny Sparman, who died, and my mom, who's been, you know, was telling me on the way down, she met her 50 years ago. On the way down, I was tempted to focus in on, okay, what am I going to preach when I get there? But I thought, you know what, on the way here, this is an opportunity to just be with my mom. And I was blessed as we talked. She even had a few ideas that I ended up putting into the sermon. But, you know, that's where life happens. You think about the people who have blessed you along the way. Those experiences, some of them might happen on a Sunday morning when the preacher's preaching, but probably a lot of them happen when you didn't expect them, when you're just heading out the door and somebody greeted you, somebody welcomed you when you first came here. You went to a small group and you're kind of nervous and you're not sure, am I going to know anybody? And then on the way, things happen. And so I just want to encourage you on the way in life to be open, to be alert, to be awake to the lessons Jesus has for you, the blessings God has for you, but also how you can be a blessing. Not when you arrive, not when you win that championship, not when you graduate, but all along the way. This past week, I was reading an article in ChristianityToday.com by Tina Osterhaus, a friend of mine. And she writes about it as a pastor. And when she had little kids, she stepped out of ministry for a while and struggled at times. Like, well, when do I ever get to do real ministry again? I mean, how crazy is that? You know, there's no greater ministry than your own children or the children of others. But you can imagine also, you've probably have struggled this when you're doing what you're supposed to do and you're like, oh, but I should be, you know, on that mountaintop doing something that every, you know. She quotes Kathleen Norris from Kathleen's book, The Quotidian Mysteries. And in case, like me, you'd forgotten what quotidian means, it means every day. So the everyday mysteries. Here's what Kathleen Norris says. We want life to have meaning. We want fulfillment, healing, even ecstasy. But the human paradox is that we find these things by starting where we are, not where we wish we were. We must look for the blessings to come from unlikely places, out of Galilee, as it were, and not in spectacular events. It's just so important, isn't it? Reflecting on her experience, Tina, and in reflecting on Norris's words, Tina writes this, I was reminded again that ministry happens in the small quotidian moments and that God's kingdom occurs on the way. We need to learn to start where we are. And so I want to encourage you this morning to say yes to Jesus, to walk secure in the love of God, to listen for Jesus' voice, saying yes to him, and no to those things that are keeping you from following, from walking forward. I want to encourage you this morning to step out, to step out on that downward path of service and of love. And as you walk, stay open, because Jesus is with you, and he's an amazing teacher, and he can do abundantly far more through you than you could ask or imagine on the way. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thanks so much for this time together, for reminding us again and again to follow you. We thank you for your patience with those first disciples who somehow crazily got caught up in thinking what's important is that we be great and people think we're great, and we confess that we're just like them. God, Jesus, great servant of all, help us to follow your example. Help us to follow you. And grant us the grace to walk this path of success, this path of the abundant life, this path of love, to the glory of your name, and Lord, to the good of this world we live in. We pray in your holy name. Amen.